As I mentioned before, our basis is Rav Willig's Mahalich in Bishul B'Shabbos. If you know anything about Rav Mordechai Willig, his Mahalchim in general are somewhat complex. He doesn't always start with the very, very basic material. So there will be some complex material over here. And that's why I was talking about before, that if you find that preparing the Makoros in advance is not really doing it for you, you're not really getting where we're going with it or what you're supposed to get out of the Makoros, it might be a better strategy. I'm going to try to be as clear as I possibly can in Shir. It might be a better strategy, take notes in Shir, get an idea of what we're trying to get out of it, and then the next day, look at those Makoros now with new glasses, so to speak, to be able to see, you know, looking through the lens of what you know you're supposed to get out of it. I'm not saying for everybody, but I'm saying it might be a strategy that is a useful strategy. But let's start with the very basics of Bishul. And it's weird. I should be opening up a sefer that was written before, 20 years ago, to discuss the very basics of Bishul. But we're going to open up Rabbi Ribiat Sefer. If you're not familiar with this sefer, it means you probably never became bar mitzvah, because I think everyone gets this as bar mitzvah gift, no? So in Rabbi Ribiat Sefer, he describes what exactly the definition of Bishul is. What does it mean to cook something? Because if we would want to say the definition of Bishul is to make something edible, right? You take a raw piece of meat, it's not edible. You make it edible, it's cooked. But we can't say that. Why can't we say that? Why is that not a possibility? Yeah, there are non-food items that are subject to Bishul. So it can't be about making something edible, right? If taking a blech and putting it on a fire to the point that it becomes red hot is a violation of Bishul, but you would never eat your blech, right? So it's obviously not. That's obviously not the definition. So he's good at giving definitions, and here's what he says: Bishul may be defined as, and then in bold and italics, the causing of a change, do you have to yell bold? The causing of a change in the properties of a food or substance by use of heat. It's kind of vague. The causing of a change in the properties of a food or substance by use of heat. What kinds of properties? What does that mean? So, not clear. This not only includes cooking a raw food until it becomes edible. Oh, so that's one kind of property. Taking something that's inedible and making it edible. But even bringing about a change in non-foods as well. Thus, heating wax until it melts or causing metal to become red hot are also included under the Malach of Bishul. And therefore he gives examples. Let's say you have a Kiddush cup that has some wax melted on the outside of your Kiddush cup. It's stuck on the outside of your Kiddush cup. How would wax get to your Kiddush cup? Because it's not only a Kiddush cup, it's also a Havdalah cup. Right, so there's some wax on there, and now you want to make kiddush. So you're going to take hot water and pour it over the wax so it will melt it away. That is bishul. You're changing the qualities of something. It's not something edible, but it's bishul. Or he gives another example, taking a blech and putting it on a gas range, on a stovetop, where if the blech becomes red hot from that, that is bishul. Of what? Of the blech itself. And he gives the examples that the Gemara gives. Putting bricks, baking bricks or earthenware in a kiln is the malach of Bishul because that causes the substance to harden. And then he says, some poskim prohibit toasting bread for this reason. Therefore, one should not place bread or challah near the blech with the intention of toasting it. That's quite a chumrah. That he quotes from Menachron, Shvisas HaShabbos. Okay, well, that we'll have to get to later. Like, can you, people do that all the time, no? You want to have a warm challah, right? So you put the challah on the blech or something like that. So he's saying if you're intending to toast it, then that might be a problem of bishul, because you're changing its qualities. It's already edible. Yeah, but you're changing its qualities. So we're starting to get somewhere, I guess, in terms of the definition of bishul. That the definition of bishul, again, so far, changing the qualities of something by use of heat. Changing the qualities that something has by use of heat. Mishabrura starts Simen Shin Yurches with an expanded definition. So Mishabrura writes Simen Shin Yurches Sivkat Nalev Echad Mevashel Samachal Oes Samanim. If someone cooks a food or he cooks dyes, What a weird example to give. Why would you give the example of cooking dye? How often do you do that? Why does he give that example? Because that's what it was, right? That's in the Mishkan. That's what Bishul was done in the Mishkan. Oh, hamechami mesamayim, or he cooks water. Rotzalomer after mayim roy l'shtia below Bishul v'uadim chalav. Even though you could drink water without cooking it, and milk also you can drink without cooking it. Mikol makom chayiv kivin demishtabeach l'idei Bishul. But you're still changing its qualities through the Bishul. You're improving it through the Bishul. Ve'echad o'of es apasur, if you bake bread, hakol inyan echad hu. Da'afiyo hu me'inyan Bishul el shafiyo pasu Bishul b'shari dvar. So says Mishmura, type one of Bishul is to take food and make it either edible or better. Meaning it could even be edible already, but you're making it better. So type one of Bishul, category one of Bishul, take food, cook it to the point that it either becomes edible or better. And it won't make it better?
Right.
That's not Bishul. Oh, I guess we blew a fuse. That's not Bishul. Right? Meaning the way the Mishmur is defining Bishul, type one of Bishul, and again, Bishul, the first couple of weeks, we're just going to be talking about Bishul Doraisa. The Darabanan issues we'll deal with later. Right? But certainly on a Doraisa level, the way the Mishmur defines it is you have to be taking something that's not edible and making it edible, or something that is edible and making it better through the use of heat. And then he says, second, category two of Bishul. Hametich echad mimine matchos kolshu. Or mechame mesamatachos ad shetase gacheles. Hareza told us mevasha. If you heat up metals to the point that they change, you make coals out of something, so that becomes bishul. That also is bishul. Why? So in brackets, shere bichimumo hu merakcho sheyehi roi l'sakn of lasus menukli very merapet davar akasha. Because you've softened it. And when you soften something that was previously hard, that's also Bishul, even if it's not a food item. V'cheina memaseis es hadonag, o es hachelev, o es hazefes, v'akofer, v'agofres, chiyotzeben, hariz etolz m'vashel v'chayv. If you melt wax, that kind of thing. Also, that's category two of Bishul. Then he says, v'chein, ha'mvashel klei adama, you cook earthenware kelim achiyasu cheres till the point that they become like pottery. Chayiv mishum mevashel. Why is it chayiv mishum mevashel? The kodim shemeschazik hakli v'nitzraf ba'kivshan v'nasa cheres karoi. Before it turned into a good piece of pottery, mispashel batit shalakeli. The mud of the kli was first cooked. V'cheina nosein chatichas eitz betanu kadei sheyis yabesh. Or you put a piece of wood in an oven to dry it up. And you know that it's first going to soften and all the moisture is going to come out. Here he goes. Klolo Sheldavar. He says, to summarize all these examples, here's the definition. Klolo Sheldavar. Bein Sheripa Guf Kasha Be'esh. O Shehiksha Guf Rach. Here is a Chayiv Mishum Mevashel. Category 2 of Bishul involves two subcategories. You either harden something with fire or you soften something with fire. So again, Mishnah Berurah just gives us to begin. Remember we saw in the Akdamah last night, the Mishnah Berurah says, I like to give introductions to complicated things. So his introduction to Hilchos Bishul is, I need to define what Bishul means for you. Bishul is defined as either taking inedible food and making it edible, slash taking edible food and making it better. Category two is taking something hard and softening it with fire, or taking something soft and hardening it with fire. And that's talking about in the area of non-foods. Yeah.
Objectively, would you want wood or metal to be harder or softer?
Yeah.
Is it better to be...
Oh, meaning you're asking which is... whatever you're trying to accomplish. Whatever it is that's better that you're trying to accomplish. Yeah. Meaning you're intending to take this wood... a block, in the example that he gives, which has a lot of moisture in it, and you put it in an oven to extract all that moisture, on its way out, it softens the whole piece of wood, but then it's going to harden once all the moisture is gone. So I think, whatever your intention is, meaning what he's trying to accomplish over here is to tell us how you can have bishul by something that's not a food, right? How is there ever such a thing as bishul when you have a non-food item? So So he's saying, yeah, there is such a whole category of vishal by non-food items, and that category of vishal is defined by hardening or softening. Good. So if you were to try to have like a basic definition of vishal, Mishmur did a very good job. He gave us two categories, food items, non-food items, and within each category, he gave us two subcategories. When it comes to food items, there's inedible things that you made edible, and there are edible things that you made better. Within the non-food categories, he said there's softening and there's hardening. Yeah.
But don't we have a proof from the fact that the av itself is not a food item that you clearly have visual by non-food item?
Yes.
So why is
no one argues in that.
So why isn't he trying to like explain?
No, well, but how do you magdir it? How do you define it? Meaning it's clear that visual applies to non-food items. Meaning because the malacha in the Mishkan was a non-food item. Unless the old malacha is ofer, in which case it was a food item. But the malacha of Mishnah is a non-food item. But just how do you define when it's done? Anytime I apply heat to anything, if I take a towel and I put it out on my porch and the sun bakes down, well, sun is different. But, you know, like anytime you expose anything to heat, it's automatically bishul? It's hard to say. Well, how do I know that when I walk next to the hot plate on Shabbos, I come in on a frigid day, right? You live in a cold climate and you come in on a frigid day and your hands feel like you forgot your gloves at home. Your hands feel like icicles. So you go right near the hot plate and you put your hands over the hot plate and like, it feels so good, right? Maybe you were just mavashal your fingers. How do you know that it's not bishul, right? So you have to define what's called bishul. Heating anything is bishul? No, softening, hardening. My fingers are the same, right? They maintain the same consistency when they're cold and they're hot, and it's not a violation of bishul. So you just have to be mindful. You have to define it. So all that is great, right? So far so good, right? We're at the very basic level. So far so good. Two definitions of bishul: one for food, one for non-food. Comes along the Rambam. The Rambam says, "Oh, let me define bishul for you." And this is where it gets a little tricky. Perek Tes Halacha Aleph, source number one. Ha'ofe, there's no numbering in the sources. The first source. What would be number one? Ha'ofe kugrogeres chayiv. If you bake something the size of a grogus, I don't know, like this big, you're chayiv. That's a chayiv of bishul. That's the shear of bishul. Echad ha'ofe es hapas, whether you bake bread, or mevashel es hamachol, or you cook food, right? That's good, because we had, the Gemara itself mentions both of those things. The Mishnah mentions ofe, the Gemara says bishul samman, well, it says bishul. So whether you cook bread or food, always has samanin, or something not edible like samanin. Oh, hamechamim es hamayim, or you heat water, hakol inyan echad hu. It's all the same. Now, right there, something he did something unusual. Mishnah Berurah was very clear. There are two categories, right? There's food, and there's non-food. What's Mechamim Esamayim doing in there? Meaning, why doesn't he mention, oh, and you know what else you can cook? Chicken. You know what else you can cook? Meat. You know what else you can cook? Like, he's not here to give me a menu of all the items that you can cook. Like, why would he mention water? Water is just another item that you can cook. Mechamim Esamayim? Hakol Yinechad. Shira Mechamim Esamayim, K'dei Lirchus Ben Ever Katan. How much water do you have to cook in order to violate Bishul? Enough to wash a small aver of a body. There are 248 evarim, so enough to wash the tip of your pinky. Vishir mevashal salmanim, k'dei shirurim ledavar shem mevashal osalam. And how much dye do you have to make in order to violate bishul? A reasonable amount. Okay, fine. But what's the Rambam doing over here? Why is mechami mesamayim its own category? That's what we're going to try to figure out. Right? Why would water be in its own category of bishul, different than everything else, different than food items and non-food items? Water, I just would have thought, is an example of a food item. Simplest answer might be that he has to highlight water because of the very next line in the Rambam that we just read. Right? What do you say? There's a difference between water and everything else. What's the shear of food that you chayiv bishul? How much food do you have to cook in order to chayiv bishul? The shear of a grogus. But that's not the shear of water. How much water do you have to cook to be chayiv bishul? And it's so fascinating. I would have said the shear of to make an espresso or something like that. Like whatever the smallest amount of hot water you would ever use for drinking. That's not what he says. The amount of hot water that you would use for bathing, for washing. That's a little surprising, no? But that's, I mean, it's not him, it's the Gemara, but that's the shear. It could be that he just highlights water to let you know that it's a different shear. On the simplest level, that could be what's going on over here. And if you look in the Magid Mishnah, just a second, if you look in the Magid Mishnah, Hatochin, in this is the third source on the page, Hatochin Grogris Chayiv, Kol Eilu Ashir and Shein V'Melech Sochlin, Nira Shein Shavinuku Grogris. You know why he doesn't give you a whole menu and you violate Bishul by cooking chicken and by cooking vegetables and by cooking meat? And because the shear is a grogris by all of those things. But Dafka, when it comes to water, the shear is different, and that's why he highlights water separately.
There's also doing that also because water is more similar to the non-edible things because water doesn't change the sura.
Ah, so that's where we're going. Okay, so let's get there. So again, just to quickly review what we said until this point, the Mishnah Berurah tells us that there are two definitions of bishul. There's bishul of food items, there's bishul of non-food items. We know that that's true from the Mishnah and the Gemara, that there are both food items and non-food items are included in bishul. The Mishnah Berurah defines bishul for each of those things. The surprising thing is that the Rambam seems to put in a third category. There's food, there's non-food, and there's water. Well, why would water get its own category? That's the million-dollar question. That's what we're dealing with. Why would water get its own category? Answer number one, why does water get its own category? It's not really a separate category. It just has a different shear, so it has to be listed separately. And then, of course, you would then have to deal with why it has a different shear. But for whatever reason, it has a different shear, and that's why it's listed separately. Typically, whenever we have a shear of anything in the Shabbos, the shear is the amount that's considered chashuv. So since a tiny amount of water to wash an Eber Katan is chashuv already, so that's going to be the shear. So it's all just about the shear. But then there's a second possibility, and this is what we're going to spend the bulk of our time this morning on. The second possibility. It could be that it's something much more fundamental. The Gemara in Shabbos, Ayin Dalet Amud Beis. And by the way, when you look up these Mar Makomos, everything is laid out for you very easily over here, but it's always better to see it in the Svarim. So certainly, now some of these things you're not going to have the Svarim or it's not going to be easily accessible to you. But a Gemara you have, a Mishnah Berurah you have, right? So like whenever it quotes something from the page of the Mishnah Berurah, page of the Gemara, find it inside. Find it in the actual book. It's a much better way to learn, I tell you as I read from my Mar Makomos page. So the Gemara says, V'alosh v'ofa are categories of bishul, are categories of malacha. Amra Papa, so Papa raises the question, Shavak Tana Didan Bishul Sav Manim Dava B'Mishkan V'Nakad Ofa. What's going on over here? In the Mishkan, the reason it's a malacha was not because they baked bread. That was what they would do in the running of the Mishkan. But in the preparation of the Mishkan, it was all about making the dyes. So it says, Mar Tana Didan Sidur D'Pasnak. And now the Tana was trying to arrange it in like neat categories. So there are 11 malachas that fit into this category called Sidur D'Pas, the preparing of the bread. So since it's all part of those malachas that fit into the Sidur D'Pas, so we mention Ofa because it's, you know, the either way would be a violation of that malacha. But you're right, the real malacha is Mivasha. Amar Rav Acha Bar Rav Avira, Hayman D'Shada Siksa La'atuna. What does that mean? Anyone get an art school? A piece of wood, like a peg, into an oven. Chayiv mishum vashel. Now, no one eats wood. And yet, what does the Gemara say? Pshita, of course, chayiv mishum vashel. So, mal de tevel l'shurimon, kam achavim, kam ashman, dimir per rafi vader kamit. Now, I might have thought that it's not a violation of vashel, but you see, because it softens first and then hardens, that's why you know it is a violation of vashel. So you see right there in the Gemara, you see where the Mishnah Berurah got all this from. Right? Where do you get the idea that softening, hardening, that all of this is the definition of bishul? Because the Gemara says, that's why putting a peg in the oven is mevashel, because it softens before it hardens. Hayman da'arta kufra chayv mishum bashel. What's da'arta kufra? Tar. What? Melting tar. So pshita, ma'adim kibin da'ad rikusha emalo. I might have thought since it hardens afterwards, it's not mevashel kamash blood. So again, you see, hardening, softening, all of this is part of the gedder of bishul. When you're dealing with non-food items, that's directly in the Gemara. Wonderful. So the Gemara in Shabbos says you throw a wet peg into a fire, it's bishul because it softens before it hardens. You melt tar, it's bishul, even though it rehardens after softening. Apparently bishul is softening before softening using heat. And hard, and the Rambam in Parak Tes Halach Vav, right? In whatever the fourth source, Hametechachu mini matchas kol shua mechavim mesametechas ad shetasa gechelas. Hareza told us mevashel. Heating up coals is mevashel. V'cheinam imaseis es hadona go es hachelav o es hazefes va'kofer va'kofris. All these words should sound familiar because the Mishnah Berurah lifted all of them. Right, all of these examples exactly what the Mishnah Berurah said. V'chiotzvem hareza told us mevashel v'chayin. You melt wax or whatever. That's here it is. Klolo shaldavar, says Rami. You need a rule. Bein sheripa guf kasha be'esh. O shehuk sheguf rach, hareza chayiv mishum vashel. If you soften or harden something, it is chayiv mishum vashel. It is a chiyuv of bishul. Good? So far we know two gedarim of bishul. There's bishul of making food edible, right? And there's bishul of softening or hardening non-food items.
What was the havnu that just because it's going to get hard against non-food? So you did a malach, but just because it's so compared.
Because it wasn't a lasting malach. Meaning, so you didn't make a, you didn't, it's not a, I guess it would be a chisar malach smachshavis to a certain extent. Now, the problem is water doesn't fit any of these categories, right? Because water doesn't change, its makeup doesn't change, its characteristics don't change, it doesn't harden, it doesn't soften, it just stays a liquid when you heat water. So why is water subject to bishul? It just stays warm. And yet, the Gemara in Maseches Shabbos and Daf Mem tells us that Amar Rav Yudah Amar Shmuel, Echad Shemen Vechad Mayim, that if it's Yad Soledis Bo, that would be a definition of Bishul. Or I'll give you a better Marmakom. Rashi and Chulin on Daf Kufhei Amid Beis. Rashi and Chulin Daf Kufhei Amid Beis. Not in your Marmakomos. The Gemara talks about you're not supposed to wash with water that's Yad Soledis. I mean, the Gemara is talking about Tilas Yadayim. So you're not supposed to wash with hot water, right? Generally, people don't do that anyway. Rashi over there says that once the water is warm enough, Batlu v'nishtanu mitoras mayim. Batlu? Vinishtanu mitaras mayim. It's become batel, it's totally changed from being water. So, meaning warm water is not just water that's warm, it's a totally different thing. It's gone through this metamorphosis, it's an entirely different item. Heating of water is apparently its own category. That might help us. So, essentially, what we've done over here is what we've shown is that l'chora there are not two gedarim bishul, there are three gedarim bishul. It's taking something that was inedible and making it edible, or taking something that was edible and making it better, right? There's that. There's non-edibles and hardening or softening them. And then you have water. Taking cold water, making it hot water. When you take cold water, you make it hot water, that's considered an improvement, and that's bishul. Question? No? Ah, so what the Mishnah Berurah did is he put the first and third together, right? Meaning, he said, the Mishnah Berurah said, taking something not edible, making it edible, and making water better.
There's no changing the whole essence. But when you're making something that's edible, you're harder or softening, that's not changing the essence, that's just improving.
Something edible or inedible?
Something edible.
And hardening or softening it?
Right.
Yeah.
Now you're changing the essence, you're just making it.
I'm not sure why you would say that. Like what?
Because when he said Rashi and Chulin had said that the hot water is a shame mani. So
that
was like something new.
Yeah. So I mean, it's a little bit of an exaggerated claim. No, what Rashi's saying is that that's considered that's the chiddush. That's considered a significant change. Meaning, what we're trying to show over here is that bishul on food is normally when it goes through a qualitative change, right? Bishul on non-foods is when it goes through a hardening or softening. That's it. Bishul on Mayim does neither of those things. It doesn't really go through a qualitative change. It was water, it still is water. And it doesn't harden or soften. So it's its own category. The heating of water itself is an inherent chashivus. And that's what the Rashi and Chulin helps us with. That it's like this inherent chashivus. A person wouldn't bathe in cold water. A person wouldn't have, if he's interested in a hot tea, it's a totally different mood than when you're interested in iced tea. It's not like, it's a totally different vibe. It's an entirely different thing. So that's a third category of Bishul. That water going from cold water to hot water is enough of a change that it makes its own category of Bishul. Why is this important to categorize? Either way, everyone agrees, cooking water is Bishul, right? That's Beferes in the Gemara. For sure, cooking water is Bishul. Why is it important to categorize? This may help answer a kasha that the Sha'aretz Zion has on many, many achronim. Take a look at the Rambam, and this is the crux of it. Take a look at the Rambam. The Rambam has such a surprising line over here. In Hilchos Shabbos Perek Tes Halacha Gimel, says the Rambam, "Hamafkias habeitzah bebeged cham ubchol ubavak derachim shein cham me'ashemesh." If let's say you heat an egg using a warm beged or very hot sand, like desert sand, when the sun's been baking down on it, is very hot. You could actually hard boil an egg just by putting a raw egg in the sand. Afal pi shnitzels, even though it becomes roasted, pater. Your pater. Whenever the Rambam says pater in Hilchos Shabbos, it always means pater aval aser. It's pater on a derais level, but aser midrabanan. And in fact, the Rambam in the first paragraph of Shabbos Halacha Gimel spells that out very clearly. So it's pater. Why? She told us chama enum ketoldus ha'esh. Because it was heated by the sun, it wasn't heated by a fire. Avul Gazra Leim may told us, but it's still awesome mitrabanan because it's similar enough to something that was heated by a fire. V'cheinam mevashal b'cham itver yuchiyot v'em pater. If you cook something in hot natural springs, you're also going to be pater. Here it is. This is the key line right here. Last line. Hamevashal ala or. If someone cooks on fire, dover shahayim mevushal kol tzarcho. Something that was already fully cooked. Oh! Dover sheino tzarech bishul klal. Or something that doesn't require any bishul, pater. There's no bishul d'oraisa when you cook something. He mentions two things over here. When you cook either something that, what? Is already cooked, or something that doesn't require any cooking. No bishul d'oraisa. Something that's already cooked, that there's no bishul d'oraisa, that's the concept we discussed last night. What's that concept called? Ein bishul achar bishul. Right, if I have a fully cooked piece of chicken, to then put it on the fire, is not an issa d'oraisa. The Rabbanan maybe, we'll get to that later, but not an issa d'oraisa. That's no chiddush, what the Rabbanan says. Ein bishul achar bishul is pretty pashut. It's interesting, I say it's pretty pashut, there's no Gemara that says the words ein bishul achar bishul. There's no Mishnah that says the words ein bishul achar bishul. So maybe that will be the next year we'll discuss like where it comes from, because it doesn't say anywhere in Bishul Achar Bishul. But that's Pashut. That's Pashut. Everyone knows that once something is cooked, there is no cooking.
Can we say in Bishul Achar Bishul by something like a hot dog that was cooked already? Or go back on what we said before, that you're just making it better.
So we'll have to discuss what's the status of making something that's fully cooked better. Right, at what point do you say in Bishul Achar Bishul? What if you get to the point where it's mitstamik v'ravah, where any further cooking is only going to make it worse, right? There comes a point where the hot dog is perfectly plump and cooked and blackened a little bit on the outside, and cooking it further is just going to make it worse. Right, so at that point, if you were to take such a hot dog and put it on, I have a sheer barbecue on Thursday, or my son makes a siyum or something on Thursday, we have all these leftover hot dogs. So on Shabbos day to put it on the hot plate, right? That is for sure not a violation of Bishul D'oraisa. That's the easy part of the Rambam. But that second example, what does he mean by that second example? Oh, davar she'eino tzarech bishul klal, or if you have something that just doesn't need to be cooked. He's not talking about something that was cooked. Something that wasn't yet cooked, but it just doesn't need cooking at all. At all. Then you're pater. It's not bishul d'oraisa. So to cook something raw. So I'm at a food. A raw food that just doesn't need any cooking is not bishul d'oraisa. What does he mean? Like, give me an example of a raw food that doesn't need any cooking. So you say sushi. So let's say I were to take salmon, sushi, right? And cook it on Shabbos, the Rambam would say, I did not violate an issa d'oraisa. That is wild. Right? I can cook salmon on Shabbos and not violate Nisr Daraisa. Meaning, what you're understanding the Rambam is saying is anything that is what we would call in Hilchos Bishul Akum a davar anechal kmo shu chai. Anything that's edible raw is not subject to Bishul Daraisa. If I can eat it raw, there's no Bishul Daraisa. Which means, if I take an apple and I cook an apple, it's not Bishul Daraisa. Why? Because I can eat an apple without cooking it. That's a great, great chiddush. Yeah. Yeah, I think so. Beitza. Davar shayim vushal kol tzarcho, davar shayim tzarcho vushal klal. Yeah, I think so. He says shayim tzarcho vushal klal. Ah, so what does that mean? Good. So you're suggesting a second possibility of what the Rambam means. He doesn't mean something that's edible raw, that there are things that are edible raw, but when you cook them, they get better. Maybe he means something that even when you cook it, it's edible raw, and when you cook it, it's only going to get worse. It will never change for the better by cooking it. Can you think of any such food that will never change for the... A banana. Okay? Is there such a thing as cooked bananas?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah? So apparently someone cooks it. Fried bananas, no? Yeah, they're fried. Okay. Yeah, yeah. So I gave an example of lettuce. Cooked lettuce? Doesn't exist, right? So maybe lettuce is the only example. I can't think of any food that doesn't have any positive qualitative change that in no recipe book in the world will you find, oh, cook this. Because it's just going to make it worse. Seaweed?
Lemon?
Lemon
chicken?
Yeah, I don't know.
More subjective though. I think that
could, like, I think we would have to say that Shem's klal, meaning klal means if this is how we're going to understand this Rambam, klal means that no one would do it. Just doesn't. There's no what? Okay, because that's a good question. All right, you are cash up. So basically, we have two ways to read this Rambam. One way to read this Rambam is that the Rambam is telling me anything that's edible raw at all is not subject to Bishul on a Darais level, which is, whoa, that's like, that's a huge kula. I'm allowed to cook salmon on Shabbos because it's edible raw. I'm allowed to cook any fruit or vegetable on Shabbos because it's edible, most vegetables, because it's edible raw. And the other way to understand the Rambam is, no. Things that are edible raw, you're not allowed to cook on Shabbos. It's only things that there's absolutely no benefit whatsoever in cooking them. Only such a thing that there's no benefit whatsoever in cooking. Only that you're allowed to cook on Shabbos. On a Daraisa level. Let's see how the Achronim understood the Rambam. Take a look at the Merkevas HaMishnah, which is on the second page here of the Makoros. Umasha Kosov Dover Sheinu Tzarech Bishul Klal. He says, you know, that which the Rambam says, that something that doesn't require Bishul is not subject to Bishul Daraisa. Ba'akum daf lamed ches. What's ba'akum daf lamed ches? Avodah Zarah daf lamed ches. You have a similar idea. Kol shu nechel, kmo shu chai, ein bo mishum bishul le'akum, v'u adin linyan Shabbos. How does the Merkevas HaMishnah understand the Rambam? Our first way or our second way of understanding? Our first way of understanding that anything edible raw is not subject to Bishul, because it's just like by Bishul Akum. Anything that's edible raw is not a problem with Bishul Akum. But what then? Linyan Shabbos, and therefore it's not subject to Bishul B'Shabbos either. Meaning the word Bishul means the same thing in every place that you have the word Bishul. So if there's the word Bishul appears by the Isser Bishul Akum, and the word Bishul appears by the Isser Bishul B'Shabbos, and where else do we have an Isser Bishul? Besides for Basvachal. So if you're cooking something that's edible raw, it's not Bishul Akum, it's not Bishul B'Shabbos, L'chora, he should say, it's not Bas B'Chal. Wow. So take a piece of cheese that's edible raw and slap it on a piece of meat, right? And it's not Bishul because it's edible raw. The cheese was edible raw. That's wild. So he doesn't say that right now, but he is saying that for Bishul Akum and Bishul B'Shabbos it's the same, which is also crazy. That's also very, very stunning. Why is that very stunning? Bishul Akum, Nisr Daraisa or Nisr Drabanan? Bishul Akum, Daraisa or Drabanan? Drabanan. Why? They don't want you to marry the non-Jew's daughter. He's going to cook such a meal for you, you're going to be like, oh, I got to keep this guy close. How do I keep him close? Ah, marry his daughter. So they don't want you to develop a kesher with them. Okay, good. Why is it that there's no bishlakim in something that's edible raw? That if a guy cooks something that's edible raw for me, it's totally fine? He didn't do much for me. I could have eaten it without his contribution. So it's not going to develop that same kind of relationship. He didn't do anything for me. So it's all about just figuring out the relationship. What in the world does that have to do with Bishul B'Shabbos? Bishul B'Shabbos is d'oraisa. It's about objectively what's called Bishul. It's a very, very big stretch to say, oh, if a guy is allowed to make me a coffee, because coffee is edible raw, coffee we assume is like water, it's edible raw, therefore, I'm allowed to cook coffee on Shabbos on a d'oraisa level. What does one have to do with the other? A coffee is not such a major contribution to my life. It's a bad example. Coffee is a major contribution to my life. But, you know, whatever he did is not such a major contribution to my life. But Bishul B'Shabbos has nothing to do with how big a contribution it is to my life. Very, very difficult. But that's what he says. Not only the Merkavos HaMishnah, Rabbi Akiva Eiger makes this assumption in Shulchan Aruch. Now this Rabbi Akiva Eiger you would never be able to understand unless you see the context of where it's said in Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch in Siman Shin Yud Ches discusses the following case. He talks about if you take an apple, you take a fruit. I did not put all the relevant makoros here in your packet, but I'll say it outside. You'll get the idea. Oops. What sif is it? Oh, it's in Rishon Dalet Shin Yud Ches. Where is it? Oh, it's in Rishon Dalet. That will explain why I'm not finding it. Yeah, here it is. So Rishon Dalet, the Shulchan Aruch and Sif Dalet says the following. You have a fruit that's nechal and chayim. You have a fruit that's edible raw, an apple, right? And you put it near a pot of hot food to the point that the heat from the pot is coming toward the apple and is actually cooking the apple. But you did that on Friday. So on Friday before Shabbos, here's your pot of hot food. I take my apple, I put it right near it. And now the apple is getting softened and cooked from the heat of the food, but it's not going to get cooked in time for Shabbos. Before Shabbos starts, it's still going to be cooking. Says the Shulchan Aruch, that's fine, that's okay. Umihu tzarech lizar shel yachzor kisui im nizgala mishech hashecha. But if this apple, which is right near the hot pot of food, let's say was wrapped in foil, and then the foil becomes undone on Shabbos, and the apple's not fully cooked yet, I'm not allowed to refoil it. I'm not allowed to close up the foil again. Why not? So now that I close up, it's going to be worse than Atman. Now that I close up the foil again, what? It goes faster. It will cook faster. The food's not even fully cooked yet. So now that I close up the foil and it's being exposed to heat, it's going to hold the heat better. It's going to cook the food faster. So I'm not allowed to do that, says the Shulchan Aruch. You have to be careful not to be machzor the kisui im nizgal the mishech hashecha. If I were to ask you, is that a nisa d'oraisa or a nisa d'rabbanan? I have an apple that's not cooked. It's raw or partially raw. And I'm making the heat more intense. D'oraisa or d'rabbanan? Why? What's pata? What about it?
Ah,
so if you hold that anything that could be eaten raw is not subject to Bishul D'oraisa, so even if I were to take the apple and put it directly on a fire, it's not Bishul D'oraisa. So certainly to just rewrap the apple is not Bishul, it's only D'rabbana, because an apple could be eaten raw. Right? But if you hold that even things that could be eaten raw are subject to Bishul on a D'oraisa level, can be subject to Bishul and D'oraisa, then there's probably an issue D'oraisa. Shulchan Aruch doesn't say whether it's Asa D'oraisa or Asa D'rabbanan, he just says don't do it. Comes along the Magen Avram, and the Magen Avram writes, and if that's Asa to do, Kol Shkein Sha'asa L'Hanicham B'Shabbos Samuch L'Tanur Afilu Kodem Shusa K'Tanur. Then Kal V'Chomer, let's say you have a hot plate that's on a timer, and the hot plate is off right now. There's no heat coming out of it. So I put a piece of meat on the hot plate, and then later the timer turns on and it cooks the piece of meat. Kal v'chomer, that's us. Kal v'chomer, that's us. If I'm not allowed to rewrap the apple that's exposed to heat, then kal v'chomer, I'm not allowed to put something on an off, in an oven that's off, knowing that someone will turn it on later. Kal v'chomer. So says Rabbi Kiveger, kal v'chomer implies that there's something kal and something chomer. Kal v'chomer. Which of these is more obviously awesome? Meaning, what's the Magen Avraham assuming? You have two cases. You have the apple next to the pot, and you have the case of what? What was the other case? Putting a pot roast in the oven, but the oven's off! The oven's off! I just know that someone's going to come later and turn it on. But it's off right now, when I put the food in. Which one is more obviously usher? So the Magen Avraham seems to assume that the second one is more obviously usher. Because he says, oh, if the first one is usher, then for sure the second one is usher. Says Rabbi Kiveger, that's crazy, that's backwards. In the first case, what did I do? I actually intensified the heat of an item that was cooking on Shabbos. That's bishul. In the second case, what did I do? I took raw food and I put it in a cold place. With the knowledge that later someone will turn on an oven. Okay, but right now, what I do, my action, what I do, nothing. How can the Magen Avraham think that this is a kal v'chomer? And then Rabbi Kiveger, just almost as a throwaway line, but it reveals so much, and this is why we're quoting this old Rabbi Kiveger says, and I know that the case in the Shulchan Aruch of putting the apple right next to the to the pot and rewrapping it, I know that that's only Asur Midrabanan, but still it's more severe than putting the pot roast in an oven that's off. You know it's only Asur Midrabanan. Why is it only Asur Midrabanan to rewrap that apple? Why is it only Asur Midrabanan? Why? What? Because an apple could be eaten raw. And anything that can be eaten raw is only Nisa Drabana. Because that's what the Rambam says. Meaning, the way Rabbi Kiveger read the Rambam is the same exact way that who read the Rambam? The Merkavas HaMishnah. That when the Rambam says something that does not require Bishul Klal, something that does not require any Bishul at all, is not subject to the Yisr Bishul Midaraisa, he means Davar Anechel Kamoshu Chai, something edible raw, is not subject to Bishul. Which is, a mind-blowing chiddush, but it's becoming pretty popular. Rekev Samishna thinks that's what the Rambam meant. It's the simple reading of the Rambam, probably. And Rabbi Kiveger thinks that's what the Rambam meant. So when I opened up my Shulchan Aruch today, I saw a note on the side of my Shulchan Aruch, U'b'sharat siyan simishin yurchah sivkat and kuf yadalir cholik alzeh. Ooh, so let's take a look. Got to find out. Sharatzion. Who wrote the Sharatzion? Mishnah Berurah. So you have it. Simin Shin Yuchas. It's the footnotes. What does Tzion mean? What? A mark or a notation. It has nothing to do with Zion. It's not the Sharatzion. Tzion. It's just his footnotes on the bottom of the Mishnah Berurah. So Sharatzion. The Rambam writes in the ninth parak of Hilchos Shabbos Halacha Gimel, our Rambam, Dam Mevashel Davar Shemavushel Kol Tzarcha. Oh, she'ein tzarich bishul klal potter. That if you mevashel something that does not require bishul at all, you're potter. Says the Shar Tzion, Upashul anias daiti. Tahainu davar she'eno mishtabeach klal al yidei abishul. Whoa. Remember we started with two possible understandings of the Rambam. Understanding number one is anything that's edible raw is not subject to bishul right. So understanding number two was lettuce and seaweed. Right? Only things that do not improve at all from the bishul. So says the Shar Tzion. Option number two. The Shar Tzion says, don't tell me that cooking salmon on Shabbos is not an issur d'oraisa. Don't tell me that cooking fruits on Shabbos or vegetables on Shabbos, you're going to make grilled vegetables on Shabbos, that's not an issur d'oraisa. No way. It has to be something that is einu mishtabeach klal, that doesn't get better at all from the bishul. And he says it's pashut anias daiti. Ula afuke peiros, v'chiyagavnu shu mishtabeach alidei bishul. As opposed to peiros, which certainly get better from bishul, right? There's a qualitative change in the peiros, and it's often for the better. In which case, the case we had in Shulchan Aruch of putting the apple next to the stove, right, and rewrapping it as it's still cooking, would be an iser what? Daraisa. Because it's mishtabeach. And then he says, and I'm about to put the smack down on Rabbi Akiva Eger, because I'm going to show you 100% certainty without a raya she'enel of tshuva until you answer. A raya she'enel of tshuva that it has to be that something that's edible raw is subject to bishul. It's a beferish a gemara in Shabbos daf mem amud beis. Demayim yesh bo mishum bishul. If you cook water, the gemara says explicitly, if you cook water, it's bishul d'oraisa to cook water. You know, we're going to spend like days discussing yatzal leves bo, maler sichos, how much you have to cook water. Ein bishul achar bishul water. According to Rikve Eger, according to Rikavis Mishnah, that cooking something that's edible raw is not bishul, there should be no discussion about cooking water. Why? Because water is edible raw. But it's beferish that cooking water is bishul. Take that, Rikve Eger, what are you going to say? Ah, so that's where we come full circle. So what's he going to say? He'll say, you got to read the Rambam carefully. That's why the Rambam, same guy. Can't call the Rambam a guy. Same Rishon. Says the Rambam, when I want to write for you the very definition of bishul, I'm not going to give you two categories. I'm not going to give you just a category of food and non-food, where water is just subsumed under the category of food. No, I'm going to give you three categories. There is food, there is non-food, and there is water. When the Rambam gives the rule that something that's edible raw is not subject to bishul, that's only which kind of bishul? Solid foods. Foods. Actual food. It does not apply to non-food items, obviously. And it does not apply to water. The geder of bishul by water has nothing to do with being edible raw. The geder of bishul by water is heating water is such a qualitative change that that's going to be called bishul. Meaning, according to Riki Veig, according to Merkabah's Mishnah, there is such a rule that something that's edible raw is not subject to bishul akum. So grilling fruits and vegetables or cooking salmon is not going to be a violation of bishul midaraisa, according to Riki Veig. Why is water violation of bishul d'oraisa? That's a different category. It's a third category. A guy gives you
bishul akum by water. Would that also be its own third category?
No, because by bishul akum, anything that's nechol k'mo shul chai is not subject to bishul akum.
Right, but if Rabbi Akiva Eger, when it comes to Mishnah, especially when it comes to Mishnah, he uses it as this right to show that it's really a subcategory. So how, and he's drawing that from making a haggish video, how can you say that?
Meaning why is it that when it comes to bishul akum, we don't say that? Meaning, it's not an exact parallel between bishul b'shachas. The Merkabah's submission is a good kasha, but the whole Merkabah's submission is so difficult to say that the geder of bishul for bishul akum has to be the same as the geder of bishul for, meaning that the rules of bishul for bishul akum. I'll give you another example. By bishul akum, there's another famous heter of bishul akum. What's the other famous heter of bishul akum? If it's not ola al shulchan malachim. If it wouldn't be served on a king's table.
We
can do better than that. Huh? If it's not Allah, right? If it's not something that would be served on a king's table, it's not subject to bishul akum. Is it bishul b'shabbos if it's not served on a king's table? I mean, let's say you cook a can of tuna fish. I don't know. It is already cooked. But let's say, I don't know, something that wouldn't be served on a king's table. Something that's potato chips. You fried potato chips. It's not Pishul B'Shabbos. I don't think anyone's going to say that's not Pishul B'Shabbos. Even the Merkabah's Mishnah only said about Nechel Kamoshul Chai. These are the calls they're changing. I understand, but I'm saying it's difficult to apply the Gedarim of Bishul Akum, which are for a totally different reason, to Bishul B'Shabbos. Yeah, and like I said before, then you would have to apply it to Bishul B'Shabbos B'Chalav as well, which is really off the wall. So just to summarize, what did we do today? Right, we tried to define what Bishul means. So we started by saying, oh, changing of qualities through heat, right? That's what Rabbi Ribiya told us. I don't know what that means, right? So we said, okay, the Mishnah Berurah gives us a little more direction. And by the way, now if you reread the beginning of that Mishnah Berurah, you see how he's sticking his own shita into the Rambam and how he reads the beginning of that Mishnah Berurah. If we have, we're not going to have time to go through it, but you read the beginning of that Mishnah Berurah again, and when he talks about Mayim and Chalav, and you'll see how he's so consistent with his own shita. But let's just to quickly review. The Mishnah Berurah said that there are two categories of bishul. There's bishul of food items and there's bishul of non-food items. Bishul of food items is defined as either taking something inedible and making it edible, or taking something edible and making it better. Ooh, that's l'shitasa, right? Taking something edible and making it better. That's one category of bishul. Non-food items is defined as either softening or hardening. What was surprising was that when you open up a Rambam, the Rambam doesn't give us two categories of bishul, food and non-food. He gives us three categories of bishul: food, non-food, and water. And we were bothered. Why in the world is water its own separate category? He doesn't make chicken a separate category from meat, which is a separate category from vegetables. No, it's just food. Why is water its own separate category? So we suggested, on the simplest level, it's not really a separate category, it just has a different shear. Because the shear of all foods is kigrogris, and the shear of water is how much? To wash aver katan, right? That's the shear of water. Maybe it's only about shear. But then we suggested, this is from Rav Willig Shlita, we suggested, no, maybe it is a third category. Maybe there's three gedarim of bishul. There's bishul of foods, which is to take something that was raw and make it edible. There is hardening and softening of non-foods. And then there is heating of water. And just heating. Heating of water is considered a substantial enough change. Raya from Rashi Chulun Kofei. Heating of water is a substantial enough change that it's its own category of bishul, even though it has not taken something inedible and made it edible. It has not hardened or softened. Just heating of water is its own category. And once we understand that, we could defend Rabbi Kivager from the kasha of the Sharati. Why? Because Rabbi Kivager had said, and the Merkavas HaMishnah had said, that anything that's edible raw, the way they understood the Rambam at least, is that anything that is edible raw is not subject to Bishul B'Shabbos. Anything that's edible raw is not going to be Bishul B'Shabbos. So the Sharet Zion had bomb kasha on that. How can you say anything that's edible raw is not subject to Bishul B'Shabbos? What about water? So the answer is going to be, yeah, Sharet Zion, I know why you, Mishnah Berurah, think that water is such a good kasha. Because you think, how many categories of bishul are there? Two. There's food and non-food, and water is just part of the food category. So you think, oh, if water, which is edible raw, is subject to bishul akum, everything else is edible raw has got to be subject to bishul akum also. So you think there are two categories, but that's where your mistake was. Got to read the Rambam carefully. The Rambam said there are three categories of bishul akum, and you can't cross-pollinate from one category to the next. So if water, which is edible raw, is subject to bishul akum, yeah, that's because water that gets heated is a whole new thing, and Rashi and Chulun Kofei, well, it's an entire qualitative change. But that has nothing to do with the rest of the category of food that's subject to bishul akum. Okay, Be'ez Hashem, tomorrow we'll start discussing Ein Bishul Achar Bishul.